reconvene the hearing. Now, this is Elizabeth Ross. Please come forward.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Rooftop floor. Elizabeth?
Oh, sorry, there's multiple other photos and emails as well, but I just took a sampling, but...
And we've read your submission, so if you'd like to take us through, you know, which I presume is what you'd really like to do.
Well, basically, for the last 2 years, I've been living next to a visitor accommodation at number 8 Moss Lane. Prior to that, it had been a residential, units, for people living. An overseas Chinese investor, I guess, bought the units and turned them into visitor accommodation. The first year was under the visitor accommodation 90-day, a year, umbrella. And when it first started, I didn't know what was going on. I knew buses and vans were coming and going, but it wasn't until, I rang the council and found out what was happening, and, they told me that they were allowed to do it for 90 days. There was never any mention at all that it should have been a 3-night minimum stay, which did not happen. And I didn't realize that until, until I think I was speaking with Mishka, who was one of the planners, who was very helpful, but she's no longer a planner there anymore. But she's the one that informed me that it should have been a 3-night minimum stay happening. So it was always a 2-night stay or a 1-night stay, which was not, under the umbrella of what the rules should have been happening. So I was keeping record of the nights, waiting for that 90-day limit to come, and hopefully life would get back to normal on Moss Lane, which it never did, and the 90 days was exceeded, and continue to be exceeded, and it was very difficult dealing with the enforcement team. You call, talk to them, it's as though you were treated as though you were the problem, not what was happening. And finally I ended up emailing Tony Hill, and he was very helpful. I did, prior to emailing Tony Hill, try to get in touch with Lee Webster, who was apparently over the enforcement team, and never heard back from him. It's a very time-consuming, frustrating, emotionally draining, process of trying to get help. Finally, with Tony, I think through this process, 8 Moss Lane realized they weren't going to get away with what they were doing, and then they tried to apply for a resource consent, which, that's how I knew Mishka, because she was the planner who was basically saying that they needed to get a resource, approval from all the homeowners on Moss Lane, which they never did. And finally, when push came to shove, I think an abatement notice was issued to them, and they were supposed to, stop doing their visitor accommodation, which they finally did, but, weeks after they were supposed to stop. So at that point, they then went into renovating the units, so that each unit used to be a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom unit, which it now, one of the units is a 5-bedroom, 4-bathroom unit, and the other one is a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom unit. And as you can see from the photographs, it's one big building, and there's no internal access. You can't go from one unit to the other than coming out and going up and out and up the stairs. So at that point, the one unit had a utility garage, which has been renovated into a supposed ensuite, which is basically, it's a bedroom with a toilet and a shower and a sink. So that is classified as one bedroom. So once the renovations were complete, they started into this last year as homestead. which when you look on the QLDC website, the rules for a homestay is no more than 5 visitors per unit. And keeping in mind each bedroom, each unit, you know, with the manager living in one, is now 4 bedrooms. Each bedroom is capable of sleeping 2 people. So they've gone into homestay, mode, and now I see numerous people coming and going, and you can see from the vehicles, the vehicles that you see in the photos are not all the vehicles, because once that's full, people will park down on Evergreen Place, or people will arrive in taxis, or the owner lives in China, he's not even on site. The manager that lives on the premises, he will go and pick people up as well, and taxi them around as well. So the vehicles are not an exact replica of the amount of people staying there. Anyway, I again, got in touch with the council saying, I see that there's more than the allowed 5 per unit staying. And I was pretty much told that I had to prove it, that I had to have evidence. And I basically laughed and said, well, how can I give evidence if, do you want me to do video surveillance? I mean, it was silly. So in February-ish of this year, I just kind of gave up because I found it just so mentally exhausting and draining, emailing, calling, while I'm trying to work, and at the same time, have a life at my home, which has just been completely disrupted, for 2 years ago. But, so you just kind of try and get on with things and think, it's too hard of a battle for me, but I've decided, to come today to basically stand up for myself and stand up for, there's a lot of people in Queenstown that this is happening to. And not everybody, has gone to the extent that I have gone. But I just feel that it's a sad situation for me, because my neighboring property, in my view, even if they sell the units, they'll never actually be a place that a family would live, because the living area has been renovated into another bedroom and ensuite. So it's not like something that a family will ever come to. So, but I'm sorry, I've gotten off track. But after that, I realized that people, they had more than 5 per unit staying. I do have a good relationship with the manager of the units. His name is Leo. And I've gone to his unit for dinner one night, and he's very remorseful when things happen, and he tries to, bring me food that his partner has cooked, or he'll bring me a bottle of wine. When the car went over the retaining wall, he's a really nice fellow, but it's hard for me because he's a cousin of the owner. And when you look on the website, it says that the owner of the property is supposed to be living on site. Well, that doesn't happen. And you call the council and they say, well, it's okay, as long as someone's living there. And then you bring to their attention, well, there's actually 2 units, and there's only someone living in 1 unit. But then again, well, that's okay. Now, keep in mind, Leo is a student, and he's not even there during the day. He leaves the property at probably 8:45 and gets home about 5 o'clock. So you have people arriving, people leaving, cleaners coming, and I find great difficulty in what once was a quiet little lane, which has now become, like a thoroughfare. I don't understand how a private lane, because you have to understand a private lane, and I'm sure you understand this, the lane itself is actually the property, it's in the land parcel of 2 of the units on the lane. And the damage is being done, and nothing, you go to the council and then they say, well, it's a civil matter. So it just goes on and on and on and on. My main problem with the visitor accommodation, and you have to understand I'm not opposed to it, but when rules are broken, it's very difficult to get help. And another thing that I find quite frustrating is that because they didn't get a resource consent, if they had gotten a resource consent, there would have been stipulations as to the time. I think it's no noise before 8 or no noise after 10. So because it doesn't fall with a resource consent, I've got people that wake me up constantly, 5:45 in the morning, 6:30 in the morning, you know, leaving, you know, to go on their, you know, wherever they're heading off. People arriving as late as 11:30, some night times midnight. And you have to understand that Moss Lane's a dark lane. There's no street lights or anything on Moss Lane. And if you have a chance, I don't know if you can, but I think it might help you understand the situation if you were able to go and see, you know, how the lane is laid out and the steepness. And when people drive up the lane, you know, it happens all the time. But anyway, I thank you very much for hearing what I have to say, and I just hope that, you know, in my instance, with there being 2 units, even with the 5 per night with a home stay, it still is a lot of people, especially when the rules are not being followed. And I also wanted to say, I actually, as I said, had a good relationship with Leo, still have a good relationship. And I actually asked him one day, this is when they were doing the home stay, how many visitors he had that night. And because I had counted 13, and he confirmed that with me. And I said to him, I said, Leo, I said, you know the rules, you're only supposed to have 5 people per unit. And he kind of went like, oh. And I reminded him again probably a month later, and I said to him, I said, Leo, if you don't follow the rules, I said, I'm going to have to go to the council and talk to them and tell them what's happening. And he told me that he would try. Now, you have to understand, because he's got bookings that are coming in that are months in advance, it's not something that he can count, you know, can't cancel these people that are coming. So to me, when, you know, after that, I did go to the council and spoke to someone in person from the enforcement team. I believe her name was Isabel. And I explained to her that I had spoken to Leo, that he had confirmed they were breaking the rules, and all I wanted was her to ring him. I gave her his cell phone number, and please just remind him of the rules. That's all I wanted. I wasn't, you know, hey, they're breaking the rules. I said, can you just please call and ring him and the owner and remind them of the rules? And it took me a month for her to do that, after 3 other emails of saying, you know, her emailing me back and sending me copies of the resource consent for the garage that had been converted. And, you know, it was like, Isabel, all I want you to do is ring the owner and the manager and remind them of the rules. And I know that workers are very busy and inundated, but the major, major problem here, and I'm sure other people have said this, is there is no monitoring of what is happening, none whatsoever. It's like a free-for-all, an honesty box. You know, it's like, well, these are the rules, and everybody has to abide by them, but there is no monitoring whatsoever. If you ring the council, again, you know, the property is registered as a visitor accommodation, you know, it's not registered as a homestay. And when I, you know, told them they were doing homestay, they said, well, it's not registered as a homestay. And it's like, well, that's what they're doing. You know, is it my fault that that's... It's just one... It's like a circus. So thank you very much for hearing what I have to say, but if the council can't monitor what's happening, how can they enforce the rules?
Now, we may have some questions, I think.
Sure.
No, thank you very much. I love the phrase honesty box.
Hmm?
I love your phrase honesty box.
Well, that's what it's like.
It sounds quite beautiful. I'm fine, thanks.
No, thank you. I mean, that was a very interesting perspective for us. And I think I was going to ask you, is the real issue enforcement? And you've said that very clearly, and ensuring that whatever rules or permitted allowances are put in place are able to be enforced, able to be recorded, monitored, so that we don't fall into this free-for-all situation.
There are properties I know. I've got girlfriends that have visitor accommodations, and they do it well, and they do it, you know, by the book. And, you know, if they have someone that's leaving early in the morning to go to Milford Sound, they'll tell them, park on the road, and you walk to your vehicle so you're not disturbing, you know, my neighbors. But it's very difficult, I think, when you've got, you know, the amount of visitors, especially when the majority of them are Chinese and don't speak that, you know, English that well. You know, and I'm not a grumpy old lady. I'm very friendly and, like, I mean, I'm very helpful. I'm the one that called the tow truck, you know, when the car came over the embankment. And, I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, it scared the bejesus out of me. I mean, I'm lying in bed, and it's if you can see the photos, I mean, my bedroom is at the very end, and my head is at the wall, you know, to the, you know, the embankment. And the noise and my dog, I mean, I love my dog, but the barking, and it's just changed. You know, I've had people walking on my property, and I mean, it goes on and on, and I don't want to take up your time, but it is quite an obtrusive, you know, invasion in your private space.
We've heard from quite a few people who use the Airbnb platform or other ones like Book of Ash, and we're going to hear from those organisations as well, and they stress to us the number of controls that those organisations themselves put on the people that use their platform. And you've said you've got girlfriends who presumably are in that system, but what I hear from you is that not all visitor accommodation users are in such a controlled system as, say, Airbnb might be. Yeah.
Well, in the first year when they were doing the busloads, you see the big buses would come and just drop a multitude of people. In my communication with the tour guides that would be with them, they all told me that their tours were all booked prior to landing, touching, you know, before they came to Cook, you know, into New Zealand even. So everything had been paid for in advance in China prior to arriving. So, you know, I don't know whether or not, you know, I mean, there are non-Chinese that stay there, and believe me, I'm not a racist person. I have no problem with that whatsoever. But it's the constant breaking of rules, and it's almost their attitude of they can, you know, do what they want and get away with it. And they can, because nothing's being done. And in the first year, when I actually proved to the enforcement team, because in a document they had said they had started in December, when in actuality they had started the end of September. And I had proof of that, because I did, by happen to take a photograph in October. You know, nothing was done. I mean, nothing, you know, I mean, I would be interested to find out whether the council has ever penalized anyone in the visitor accommodation sector for, you know, breaches of the rules. I mean, I don't know if they have. I mean, I don't know. I know in Christchurch I have a friend, you know, and if they had complaints about noise, you know, they would be warned, and then eventually, you know, this one property, after three warnings, you know, was actually prevented from, you know, doing visitor accommodation. But, I mean, I don't know that anything like that happens here. I mean, you know, to be lying in bed on a Saturday morning, your day off, and, you know, one morning I had four different wake-ups starting at 5:45 till probably 7:20 when five different vehicles left that morning. And it's just, you just lie there and you think, is this my life now? And at one point, I was in between there, you know, a year ago this time, the Chinese did try to buy me out. They offered me $900,000 for my property, and I think that was their way of, if they get rid of me, then they can just do whatever they want. But that's my home. I mean, I love where I live. I'm part of the predator-free group. I love the birds. I'm, you know, it's I love where I live. And when you are forced with that, you think to yourself, well, do I want to put up with this, you know, for the next 5 years? And I actually did look elsewhere, but it's just thought, I thought I could move, but then I love where I live. And it's like, I was here first. It's like you think, you know, this shouldn't be happening, but it is.
Well, thank you very much for coming.
No, thank you.
Well, just to confirm, I don't know whether you see this from here, the information you handed out.
Mm-hmm.
Where is your property? Is this the one down here?
Yes.
So it's quite a long, narrow house.
Yes.
Below, and there's a, and like an embankment or a retaining
wall. There's a bit of a retaining wall, yeah.
Yep.
And I, at one point, was going to pay a surveyor to come and see, you know, where the boundary is, but I, you know, it's I'm just a medical receptionist. Anyway, he didn't turn up, which I ended up, you know, not pursuing because he didn't turn up. But if you do have the chance to drive by and have a look at the layout of the land there, you'll understand, you know, because when you come around the corner, you're heading down. So where these people are trying to reverse out, you know, it's an uphill reverse. And yeah, you'll get an idea. The council did put a sign, which I think I put a copy there finally, at the bottom of the lane, but the cars still drive up the lane. I mean, it's the middle of the night, and I think the GPS, apparently, when you put in Moss Lane, directs people to the bottom of the lane, which is not helpful. But it's just the noise, you know, and the gravel. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
No, I appreciate your time, you guys. Thank you very
thank
much.
You. And compliments on the evidence, too.
Yes. Oh, no, listen, I'm so sorry. I feel like... It's almost like you think, if I don't take a photo of this, people aren't going to believe me.
It's good to have you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Heidi.
You guys have a good rest of your day.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Now, I'm going to...